Herr Nemo, vor welchen Herausforderungen steht Europa heute und wie kann eine europäische Antwort auf die Krise aussehen?
Yes, I will come back to more general reflections because I'm a philosopher. So, and I'm afraid I cannot do something else. 1989 was a capital event that we must replace in a long historical context. It was a fall of communism coming 40 years after the fall of fascism. And if we consider the history of ideas, these two totalitarianism were the last consequence of critiques made by the left and the right to the market economy and, generally speaking, to the liberal society. But the market economy and liberal society are a great step forward of mankind. Europe was ahead in this evolution, exactly as in a very ancient times, Mesopotamia was ahead in inventing agriculture, the town, the state, and the writing, which became the common good of all mankind. And the next important step was made by Europe at the modern times, because they invented this society of law, the state of law, democracy, and the market economy as a net of exchanges through law. And in fact, I worked a lot on this. During the five centuries between the Middle Ages and now, European thinkers and politicians discovered that police and treason, you know, because usually we say liberty, but liberty means police and treason. The question was, does police and treason create disorder or order? And they discovered very slowly, because it was so difficult, that police and treason makes possible a true evolutionary leap in the three fields of thought and science, politics, and economy. If you have a liberty of thinking, if you have liberty of criticizing, you will be able to make new hypotheses, and you will not be closed into a dogma. And for a democracy, if you have a pluralistic device of design of appointing political rulers, those who are not who not agree with the present rulers will just wait for the next election. it will not be necessary to make a civil war. So this was also a progress. And finally, if you have the liberty in economy, if economic agents are able to take initiative and to be guided only by the rule of law and by the prices, they will be able to offer on the markets many goods and many services, and as Hayek has shown very well, this will result in the using of much more information. I give you an example. If you are a little tribe of pygmy in Africa with 30 persons, and if one human brain can have a quantity of information one, as this society is unanimous, the 30 members of it will have altogether only one quantity of information. But if you transform them in an advised American businessmen. they will divide the labor, and they will specialize in one field. And at the end, the same society will have 30 times more information. So it is. So our modern societies are able to divide the labor and the knowledge, and this results in a tremendous leap of knowledge. And this knowledge is used to exploit the natural resources. So, but as you have much more knowledge, you can draw much more production from nature. But this is possible only if what you stop when you are specialized in one field, you no longer produce something else. So you can specialize only if you are sure that you will find by the exchange what you have stopped to produce yourself. So it is the invention of the law. It was a very long invention with the Roman law, common English common law, and so on, which made this possible. So the Europeans have invented the paradigm of self-organized system. Self-organized systems versus natural order or artificial, constructivist, organized orders. And as a result, the modern world is able to feed 6 billion inhabitants more than only 2.5 centuries ago. The global population was 600 million inhabitants in the 18th century, and now more than 6 billion. And also, we have invented science. We went on the moon and soon Mars, and we understood computers and particles physics and medicine and so on. So it's a miracle. By the way, this morning people thought of miracle. Miracle are man-made. It's true. But no man can do it alone. So when it is produced by so many people all together, it's a miracle for each of them. So, but this created a misunderstanding, because at the beginning, capitalism or liberalism improved the production, but it has the first effect was to multiply the poor. Because man, we can regret it, but man prefer to live than to die. So until then, they were killed by poverty, by the lack of food. So as soon as there were more food or more goods, they used it spontaneously to become more many, but at the level of poverty. So the intellectuals in the 19th century had made a mistake of reading of this phenomenon. They had the impression that capitalism had impoverished people, because they had never seen so many poor people in the European cities, Manchester, I think of Charles Dickens' novels and Engels' report on England, or Dr. Villermé in France. But these poor people were not people who used to be rich and who had been impoverished by capitalism. They were people who were alive. Whereas before they would have been dead, or rather they would not have been born. So it's only later that Europe used this new capacity of production to live better with the same level of people. But it was enough to provoke a tremendous critique against this new situation. And these critics came from the left as well as from the right, and it was very well shown in the famous essay of Karl Popper, The Open Society and Its Enemies. You have enemies of the right who want to come back before capitalism, and you have enemies on the left who want to create an utopia But it is the same misunderstanding of what of the open society is. So I do not develop these very well-known points. But the important thing is that 1989 was the failure of the second totalitarianism, the one who lasted 70 years, communism. After a Cold War, and the other totalitarianism had been vanquished in 1945 by a hot war, and by the way, the two times it was in Berlin. So if we replace our reflection in this very large context, we can draw conclusions, and I mean strong, definite conclusions. Now, we have seen the economic and social failure of the two non-liberal totalitarianism, and still more, we have seen the human failure, the barbarian societies that they produced. So Fukuyama was right to say that the model of a liberal democracy had triumphed. He was wrong to speak of the end of history, and of course he was wrong if he meant that we have attained some kind of earthly paradise. But it is true by comparison with the two other models, and. And now we know that any society which is not polycentric, which is authoritarian, cannot produce so much goods and so much riches. And we know that as we know after Copernic and Galilei. That the Earth turns around the Sun and not the opposite. It's a definite result of human progress. It's why I can answer the question. Market economies and democracy are not outdated ideals. Of course, there is presently a crisis, but I will say just some words about it. This crisis is a crisis. So, I mean, it will be overcome. It's not permanent, you know. It's a bad event with which we will cope, and it can be explained because as Hayek, excuse me, I quote Hayek because. I wrote several books on him, and he's a very intelligent man. By the way, he is Austrian, so all this is a European affair. And Hayek showed that the polycentrism can work only through rules. And for instance, you have rules for academic debates like our debate, but you have also rules for the economy. And these rules are not natural. They must be invented, and they are invented by essay and mistakes. So we have had in recent years a new situation, Europe, globalization. And our classical rules were not sufficient to cope with this new situation, and it's so we must invent more new rules which fit the problem. And in particular, just quote two problems we must solve. By the way, economics is not a finished science. You have many sophisticated mathematics, but very often economists do not know what they are measuring with their equations. So it's a new science, And we don't yet understand very well what money is. the classical theoricians have shown very well that if you have a system of law and prices, so the allocation of resources will be optimized. But what's the matter when the money itself is not stable and can change? And secondly, the theory of competition supposes that every economic agent uses his own information to take a decision. But what's the matter when you have a global markets and when you take a decision not because you have an objective information on a problem, but you just imitate some somebody else, so you have a problem of mimesis and a systemic folly, and which was studied by several thinkers like Aglietta in France or Dupuis. So I conclude that Europe must go the same way, and social market economy and democracy and free markets are not outdated ideals. They are only systems which must be improved. For now we face new problems. It's not the end of history. And I just, to conclude, quote some of them. I will not only for discussion. For instance, I am not convinced that economic globalization as such is good. If there are too much differences between societies, competition can be unfair and destructive. I think that. Secondly, it's the same problem for environment. We are here in the temple of ecology, which is a serious problem which must be coped with. And by the way, Friedrich Hayek, whom I quote often, has accepted the idea that market economy produces externalities, social consequences, and this is a justification to intervene. And there is another problem specifically in Europe. I think immigration is a problem because it could destroy our society if it is not considered in the sense of integration, but as some people suggest, as a multiculturalism. Multiculturalism is as absurd as a game in which everybody comes with his own rules. So if we must have a harmonious society, we must have the same rules. People with very diverse origins can adopt the same rules, but they cannot come with their rules. And we need also, and it's my last point, we need also a philosophy, a doctrine. I was very interested in what said yesterday about, for instance, the Slovaks who trust more in the European Union than their own government. It's evident that we have the need for understanding how the social systems work. So it's you have no great civilization without a philosophy, without a doctrine. Just think about Europe. It was made by the church during centuries. And in China, it was made by Confucianists who taught every generation of civil servants. And if we must have an harmonious society, it is more important than the political initiative, because politicians can sign treaties, but these treaties suppose that there is a common culture. And this culture is not a miracle, it is man-made, but it is a question of years. But we must have common European press, media, and we must have common European schools with the same ideas.